The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So at this time, we want to welcome everybody that's listening, watching, whether it be by YouTube, by Facebook, by the podcast, whatever the case may be. Today, I want to deal with a particular subject that I have ministered on before, but time to time, I like to pull some old things out in a new season, because I think, number one, we've got a lot more viewers today than we did 3 years ago. And there's, the ministry changes and shifts and people come and go. And so there may be somebody watching this today that may need to hear this, even though we've ministered to this before. And number two, it's always good to hear a word maybe you've heard before in a different season, because we all go through different seasons. And I know in some seasons in my life, I need to hear a word maybe I've heard before, but it's got a sharper edge on it that, either encourages me or pulls me out of something that I'm in. So that's what we're dealing with today. We're going to be dealing with a particular subject called Taste of the Lord and See That He Is Good. Now, if you you may be listening to this, and if you know your Bible well, you'll know that that is indeed a verse. And it was coined by the prophet or the psalmist David, who wrote in Psalms 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." So we're going to talk about this today. I want to preface this by saying that I can tell you by testimony firsthand that once you taste of the Lord and you partake of his goodness, partake of his mercy, partake of his graciousness, partake of his kingdom and what he has to offer to you, there is nothing that the world, the culture, and anything out there outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, outside of his kingdom, can offer you and I that can ever satisfy me like he can. I want to show you this. Matthew 15, 32. I'm going to pull some stuff out of Matthew 15, John 4, and different verses here. This is Matthew 15. Again, I think this is going to be a word of encouragement to you. Matthew 15, 32. "Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, 'I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.' And the multitudes in the passage above that followed Jesus were so hungry." Listen to this. I wrote this down in a note. "The multitude in the passage above that followed Jesus were so hungry for spiritual food that he was feeding them that they disregarded their need for physical food." I want to read this again. "Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, 'I have compassion upon the multitude because they've now continued with me 3 days and have not eaten anything.'" So they were so drawn to what the Lord was feeding them. And I'm not talking about the fish and bread here, but he was feeding them kingdom principles. He was feeding them the secrets of heaven. He was feeding them the spiritual principles of destroying the works of the devil, giving them hope, giving them blessed assurance, giving them, come on, something that was strengthening them, equipping them, and giving them joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come on, have you ever been so captivated by a word in a service or in a youth or in a gathering, or maybe as a young person at a camp meeting as a youth, or maybe you're in your word and God gives you a rhema word and you're so caught up in it? Maybe it's a book. You're reading a book that just has just absolute revelation knowledge from the kingdom, and you're so captivated by it that you lose track of time. Somebody says, "What did you eat for dinner?" And you realize that time has gone by and you didn't even eat dinner, or you didn't eat lunch, or you haven't eaten half of the day because you've been so drawn, come on, by his presence and by his kingdom, that it has turned your attention away from the physical and from the necessities of your flesh. So this is exactly what's happening here. There was all these multitudes that came out from all around the regions, and they hung on to every word that was coming out of the mouth of Jesus. And it got to the point where Jesus acknowledged that, hey, we got to feed these guys. We got to feed these people. These people are getting hungry. They're starting to become weak. Come on. And so this is what I wrote here. This is amazing to me. It says, have you ever gotten so hungry for God in his presence that you don't even realize you haven't eaten? Has your necessity for the bread of heaven superseded that of the bread of the oven? I gotta say that again. Has your hunger ever become so great for the necessity of the bread of heaven that it has superseded that of the bread of the oven? Come on, I'm just being honest here. I can always determine when I'm really walking in the flesh based upon how quickly I react to natural or physical things that are desires of the flesh. Because see, when you start talking about a fast, you can determine someone's level of spirituality or where they're at in their relationship with God and how hungry they are for the things of God based upon, if I were to talk about fasting right now and begin to even hint that we should go on a corporate fast for 3 days or 21 days or whatever the case may be, you can determine your level of hunger for him and his kingdom based upon your response to that request. If you're immediately, your flesh is like, no way, Jose, I don't want to fast. I don't want to give up these things. I don't want to give up sugar. I don't want to give up the pleasantries and food and all these things. Then again, that tells me, I got all the fingers pointing at me too. Listen, I'm going to tell you, of all the three things in Matthew 6 that Jesus talked about, when you shall give, when you shall pray, and when you shall fast, I'm going to tell you, my weakness is not praying and it's not giving, but it is fasting, because in the flesh, I don't like fasting. But what I've noticed is if I start getting hungry to the point where my desperation of breakthrough and an answer to prayer, come on, or a deliverance, or whatever the case would be, if that desire for that supersedes my desire, come on, to eat, desire to have my flesh fulfilled, then I always notice that that's my barometer. It kind of determines on where I'm at in my hunger level for the Lord. So here you have these multitudes that for that 3 days, they lost track of time. They lost track of their to-do list. They lost track of whether they should eat, where they're going to go shopping at, what's on television. Come on, somebody. Is there a football game on? Do I need to go golfing with my buddies? Is there a basketball game on? Is there a reality television show program coming on? Come on. Is there anybody out there that you're so hungry for God that these things, they're of not necessity. You want to suppress those things. So those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, Matthew 5 and 6. I love what he says here. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Not they might get filled. They could be filled. They shall be filled. Come on, I just, at the end of this program today, I'm going to pray for you and I that God would deposit in our spirits a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that supersedes the hunger and thirst for fleshly, carnal entertainment and pleasing things. Why? Because at the other end of that is a blessing. There is breakthrough. There is deliverance. There is the answer to what you're praying for. I remember when I first got saved 20 years ago, and I will admit to you, I have no problem admitting this. When I first gave my heart to the Lord over 20 years ago, it's been about 21 years to be exact, my hunger level was so strong and so powerful of desperation of hunger that, I mean, I literally would read the Bible for hours on end. I would hear messages hours on end. I couldn't wait till the church opened. Now, I wish I could sit here and tell you today that I was on that same hunger level, but I'm not. But that doesn't mean I don't want to be. I want to be on that level. And look, things happen. I get it. Time happens. At that time, I didn't have children. We've got two kids. We got responsibilities. I was a lot younger then, so I didn't have as many responsibilities. And over time, things happen. Life changes. Events happen. This happens. That happens. You know, whatever. Life hits you in the face. Come on. Can I get a witness, somebody? But I want to tell somebody today that's behind this microphone that the devil has tried to tell you that you can never have that hunger again. You'll never get back to that joy of the Lord that you had when you first got saved. But I got news for you today. I stopped by today to tell you the devil is a liar, and you can absolutely get that hunger again. You can get that desire again. Come on, you can get that passion again, and you can get your fire back again. And I'm going to tell you something. You want me to prove it in the Word of God? David said, when he was praying unto the Lord, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Listen, that wouldn't have not been put in the Bible if it was not possible for it to happen. I want to say it again. God would have not permitted and allowed David to write that in the Bible and it be passed down to generation to generation in the book of Psalms if it were not possible for it to be answered. So David said, "Lord, restore unto me." And by the way, that in the context of that scripture, David was repenting to the Lord. He was repenting. He was repenting for sinning against God. He said, "Against you, O God, have I sinned, and you alone. Wash me of my transgressions. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. And restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Oh, there's somebody listening to me today, and you need the joy of the Lord restored in your life. Come on, I need a little bit more joy in my life. I want so much joy that I want the Bible's joy where it says it's unspeakable and full of glory. I want joy to be running over. I want my cup to be running over. I want so much joy that, Lord, that I could be setting, come on. And some of you people in Texas is going to relate to this. I want to have so much joy that even if my power's out, even if I don't have any heat, I've got some blankets, I've got a candle, and I've got the Word of God, and I've got His presence. And while everybody else is complaining and murmuring, come on, and it's gloom and doom, I'm sitting there right in the midst of a dark circumstance, right in the midst of a valley, and I can say it is well, and I am rejoicing. I've got a smile on my face, and I'm praising God, and everybody else around me is thinking that I've lost my mind because they're saying, "How in the world could you be full of joy when you've lost your power, lost your heat? You can't get anywhere because everything is shut down." Because again, I want to get to a place where there is so much hunger on the inside of me that it supersedes the conditions around me. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote from a jail cell in the New Testament. He wrote from a jail cell, sitting in the middle of sewage in a jail cell, chained between two guards. And he wrote in his epistles, he said, "I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Come on. Why did Paul write that? Because Paul understood what I'm trying to tell you today, because Paul tasted of the Lord and he knew that He was good. Whew, man, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me just talking about this. He knew that the joy of the Lord superseded his temporal conditions around him. Why do you think Paul said this light affliction is but for a moment, but will not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed? Come on. Paul said this light affliction is for a moment. Do you know what he defined as a light affliction? Paul's definition of a light affliction wasn't that he lost his electricity for a couple hours or his internet went out or he had a flat tire. No, when you go into the New Testament, Paul described his light affliction as having to be led down in a basket out of a city because they wanted to kill him. He described a light affliction as being stoned and left for dead in the city of Lystra and had to get saints gather around him full of the Holy Ghost and raise him up from the dead. Paul described a light affliction as being shipwrecked, going hungry, being naked, being persecuted, being lied on, having little and suffering great affliction. And he said, this light affliction is but for a moment. I want you to come on. I need somebody to say this with me today. Because I don't know what you're going through on the other end of this camera, on the other end of this microphone. Whatever you're going through, it might be a diagnosis. It might be something in your family. It might be something in your friends. It might be something at your job. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you based upon the word of the Lord, God is not intimidated by your circumstance. He's not intimidated by what the doctor said, by what the banker said, or by what the marriage counselor said. He's looking at all this through the lens, come on, of redemption, through the lens of the word. The Father is looking at your circumstance through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and he is saying, but this light affliction, come on, is but for a moment. I want you to say that this light affliction is but for a moment and shall not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Can I use it in the natural? See, I live in Georgia, and I used to live up north, and everything that you guys are dealing with in the south, listen, I was accustomed to that in the north. We're used to it being cold. We're used to it being icy. We're used to being snowed in. And I left the north to go up to the south to get away from that. And just when you thought that winter was going to pass us by, it came in with the vengeance. But here's the good thing. Here's what I love about it. It's awful right now, and I'm not undermining what's going on. We're praying for everybody in Texas and Oklahoma City and all these other places. It's been just completely devastated. Guys, don't make fun of them. Don't make fun of the people in the South because they're not used to that. Okay? But here's what I'm saying. But here's the good news. Come on. March is coming. April is coming. Spring is coming. I know it's rough right now. I know it's hard right now. I know things are uneasy, but the good thing is if you can hold on a little while longer, then come on, the breakthrough's coming. And you say, what's this got to do with tasting of the Lord and seeing that he is good? You want to know the answer? Listen, when you've tasted of him and you've tasted of his kingdom, come on, you partake of perseverance. You partake of his goodness. You partake of his testimony. So, because see, when you know that, here's how you, you taste of the Lord little by little and you begin to determine how good he is. See, this is why I'm not concerned about my finances, because I've tasted of his blessing. I've tasted of his provision. When I begin to step out in faith and I understood these principles of if I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I understood that all these things shall be added unto me. I understood that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I understood that the young lions, they do hunger, but those who hunger, are you hearing me, and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So listen, all I've got to worry about is just maintaining my hunger for him. I got to stay on fire for him. I got to stay passionate for him. I got to keep my eyes on him and stay focused on his kingdom. Because the moment I get my eyes off of him and off of his principles and off of his kingdom and off of his word, then I begin to get worried and I begin to rely on my own strength. And I begin to rely on my own intellect and my own will to be able to come out on the other end. But God never intended for me to lean on. Oh, in fact, the Bible says, lean not into your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. See, there's something that we have coined as a phrase that's nowhere in your Bible, and that is God helps those who help themselves. That's nowhere in the 66 books of the Old or New Testament. That is a lie from the devil. In fact, the Bible tells us the opposite. We are His children and He is our Heavenly Father. And my Bible says that we're not to worry about what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. And He says that we are more valuable than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And if God clothes them and feeds them, how much more, come on, are you of value, O ye of little faith? Listen, I want to destroy that old lie of the enemy. Listen, when you honor Him and you are passionate about Him and you hunger and thirst after Him, I always say it like this. When you're pursuing Him going through the front door, come on, His provisions are chasing you from the back door. Let me say that again. When you are pursuing Him through the front door, keeping your eyes ahead, moving forward, pursuing Him, then His blessings, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. That's what Deuteronomy 28 says. I got to get through this, guys. You guys are messing me and pulling me away. That's not really a rabbit trail because I'm still on track, but I've got so many scriptures here I want to read to you. John 4, 28 through 34. I'm going to give you the cliff notes of this. Let me give you the backdrop of this. Here you have a Samaritan woman at the well. Everybody knows this story. She's there getting water and Jesus is there. He asked her, can you draw up a little bit of water for me? They have this whole dialogue back and forth. And she says, why are you being a Jew speaking to me, a Samaritan? This should not be. And she said, they got in this whole conversation and he reveals to her, he literally reads her mail and she goes by, freaks out, leaves her pail behind, her bucket of water, goes to the city, takes everybody, comes back so that she could tell everybody about the man who spoke about her life. Now listen to this, all that's happening. But I'm going to show you verse 32. This is John 4, 28 through 34, but we're going to start at verse 32. But he said to them, verse 31, let's go to verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him saying, Rabbi, eat. So they're looking at Jesus saying, hey, lunch is here. We got some lunch. You need to eat. We can't even remember the last time we saw you eat. Listen to Jesus. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone else brought him something to eat? They didn't get it. Went right over those boys' heads, just zoop, right over their head. Listen to what he said. So Jesus said unto them, my food, somebody say my food, is to do the will of him. Somebody say, my food is to do his will. Here's what he says. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In other words, Jesus was so hungry and he had such a desire to complete that which the Heavenly Father, come on, began in him that it superseded, come on, a fish sandwich at Long John Silver's. He said, well, Pastor, I get hungry. We all do. But I'm telling you, there is a place in him that I'm so hungry for because I've been there. But life comes and it knocks the wind out of you. Come on. COVID knocks the wind out of you, literally. The elections have knocked the wind out of people. The political environment has knocked the wind out of people. Society, culture. The conditions of the church, these things have knocked the wind out of us. They have knocked the hunger out of us. Let me read on. I got to read on. Why do you think Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Whew. Wow. I'm going to skip over some of this stuff. I've got a lot of notes here that I'm going to skip over because I don't feel led to read these. I'm going to get right here and then we're going to close this podcast for today. 1 John 2:15-17. Listen to this. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I won't say, this is the perfect time to interject this since we're on this topic. Rush Limbaugh died today. Now, look, you may not like him or you may love him, but I'm absolutely grieved in my heart and spirit when I get on social media and so-called Christians, let alone people that don't know God, we expect that, but people that claim to be Christians are laughing, mocking, and rejoicing at a man who died of lung cancer. My friend, listen to me. Look at my eyes. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. If you call yourself a Christian, a believer, born again, a follower of Christ, and you rejoice over anyone who dies of a horrid disease like cancer, and you rejoice about it, you laugh about it, and you mock them about it, you, my friend, I question, A, if you're even saved. And if you claim to be saved, my Bible says that you do not have the love of the Father in you. Because one of the fruits of the Spirit, can I just preach this? One of the fruits of the Spirit is that you will love your neighbor as you love yourself. I'll go a step further. You will love your enemy and pray for those who despitefully use you. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus laugh or mock his enemies. He commanded us to pray for them who despitefully use us and bless those who persecute us. Oh, I know that you don't want to hear that today, but I'm going to preach it anyway. I'm tired of people saying that they're Christians and they go around hating people because of a different color that they are, or a different ethnicity, or a different background, or a different political affiliation, or different doctrinal difference, or a different denomination that they're in. And then we wonder why we have no influence, come on, to get people saved, get people hungry for God. Why in the world would I be hungry for your God and for your religion and to go to your church when you talk about other people of a different ethnicity, or you don't like people because of the different color of their skin, or they're a different political affiliation? Woo, I'm going to lose some folks right there, but that's all right. Listen, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away. Listen, guys, why are we holding on to something that's passing away? Have you ever thought about that? We're all guilty of this, every bit of us. We're chasing after money that's passing away. We're chasing after fame that's going to pass away. We're chasing after the perfect image that's passing away. We're chasing after this, we're chasing after that, and most of it's idolatry, when really we're called to be God chasers. These three devices of Satan are used to fill us with things of the world to replace. Listen to this. Here's the whole objective of Satan. Ready? Watch this. These three things, the devil's objective is to replace, not to take away, because we were created to hunger and thirst after God. So Satan knows he cannot replace what God has put in us, and that is the ability and the capability and the desire to hunger and thirst after him. So Satan knows he can't take it out of us. He can't defuse us or remove that ability. So what he does is he comes and tries to replace, come on, what we hunger and thirst after. So this is why many believers today aren't like the believers 40 years ago. that saw powerful moves of God, revivals and awakenings and healing miracles and raising the dead. It's because now Satan has replaced, come on, these desires for these things with social media, entertainment, smartphones, come on. And the list goes on and on and on. So we have filled ourselves up with this day after day. You guys have heard me use this analogy till I'm blue in the face, but anybody that has children will give me a shouting amen on this. Listen, how many times has our kids it comes dinner time or it comes lunch time. Usually it's almost always dinner time. It's time for dinner, boys, let's go to eat. And they're like, oh, I'm not hungry, I don't want to eat. And what you found out is the reason why they're not hungry for their meal is because they've been snacking on everything else in between that they shouldn't have been eating, and it's filled the void for them to be, come on, that they were supposed to be hungering after something that's nutritionable for them to eat, that's going to fill them up and it's going to be healthy for them. But instead they've been snacking on everything else. Come on, Go Fish and snacks over here and juices over here and drinks over here, and they have filled themselves up with everything else but what they're supposed to eat. In case you didn't, come on, I know Jesus spoke in parables and he had to speak plainly. In case you didn't get that, we as believers will make excuses. Well, you know, brother, I would read the Bible more, but I just don't have time. But yet you'll watch a 3-hour show on television. You'll watch a 2.5-hour football game. You'll watch a 2-hour baseball game. Come on, you've got time for everything else, but we don't have time to get in the word, time to get in prayer, time to go to the house of God, time to make time for him. Why? So we've been snacking on social media, snacking on sports, snacking on reality television, snacking on everything else that is not benefiting us whatsoever. Listen, I'm not against sports. I've got two boys that I just signed up for baseball. I am not against fishing or golfing. I'm not against watching television. I'm not against any of these things. But what I am saying is, come on, I'm going to bring it back home to me, that if I can make room for that, make room for that and that and that, then there is no excuse for me not to make room for that. And here's the key, guys, watch this. I know you've heard me listen, I'm going to take up the bat and beat this dead horse some more. But the amazing thing is once you begin to neglect your flesh of the compulsion that it's designed, once you abstain from sugar or from sweets or from snacks and high salty foods, once you abstain from that and you begin to replace it with healthy, nutritious foods, at first, your flesh is going to have a heyday with you. You're going to have headaches. You're going to have mood swings. You're going to be fatigued. Why? Because your body has to adjust. But here's what I've discovered. Once you remove the taste, come on, of that from your body, your flesh will begin to desire and hunger after what it was designed to eat and to consume. And you know what? It's the same in the spiritual realm. Here's what I've noticed. The more I get into the word, the more I hunger for the word. The more I get in prayer, the more desire I have to pray. The more I begin to fast and I begin to get that, I get to get in tune for him. I get in tune with his word and I begin to get breakthroughs. The more I will desire to fast. The more I get into the house of God and get into fellowship with and communion with other believers. And I know some of y'all can't do that, but here online or home groups or whatever you can do, wherever you're at and whatever you can, the more you desire that, the more that desire will come. But watch this. But the more that you neglect the word, neglect prayer, neglect fasting, neglecting just fellowship with other believers, eventually you'll become numb to that. You won't have any desire to get into the word, get into prayer, get into fasting, and get into communion with other believers. I'm telling you the gospel truth today, if you'll listen to it and if you'll receive it today. So So what are we going to pray about here? This is what I want to pray about. We're going to pray, and then I want you to stay tuned. We're going to give you some information on how to get connected to our ministry. I want to pray right now. If you're watching this, listen to this, whatever the case may be. I want to pray corporately for everyone, including myself and including my family. I'm asking the Lord that He would deposit into our hearts and our spirits a hunger for and thirst for His righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's a promise. He said, if you'll seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, if you will seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Again, I said this while ago earlier in this broadcast, there's people that watching this right now, you're in some bad circumstances right now. Things are just not going your way, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, financial, or all the above. And you've learned and you've discovered that your fire has been going out. Your hunger level has depreciated. Your hunger and thirst level is almost none. It's not there. I'm telling you, if you can get that hunger and that thirst back, then you'll get your joy back. And if you get your joy back, you'll get your strength back. And if you get your strength back, you're going to get the victory in Jesus' name. So let's pray for this right now, right where you're at. If you can put your hands up, put your hand on your heart or whatever. If you can receive this right now, I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for those that are watching and listening to today's broadcast. Father, I pray exactly what I have talked about today. I'm asking you right now, where we're at behind this camera, in this living room, in this kitchen, in their bedroom, in their car, wherever they're at, I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, based upon your word, you said if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we shall be filled. You said if we seek ye first your kingdom and your righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto us. God, I'm asking that you would supernaturally deposit in us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Lord, put a hunger and a thirst in us to desire the word of God, desire prayer, desire your presence, desire the fellowship of other believers, desire all that you have of your kingdom. God, I'm asking that you would give us strength to, Lord, pull away and to walk away from things that are artificial, that they are substitutes and they are counterfeits that are filling that desire that you creating us for you and that the enemy has put in us in our path as stumbling blocks, pulling us away from what you have desired for us to consume and digest. Lord, you said that you are the bread which comes down from heaven. If any man eats and partakes of you, we shall never hunger again. You said that you are living water. And if we drink of you, we shall never thirst again. So, Lord, we partake of you today. We want all of you today. You said that those who come to you must first believe that you are, and that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So, Lord, I pray today that you would reward the diligent that are seeking you today, that are in pursuit of you today, that are desiring more of you today. And, Lord, sometimes that takes a step of faith. Faith without works is dead. We got to open up the Bible. We got to open our mouth and start praying again. We got to push back our plate and fast that one meal or whatever the case may be. We got to step out and get into fellowship with other believers. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Turn on a CD, turn on a DVD, turn on a podcast, turn on a message. Get the word in us. And as we do, it will begin to break off apathy, break off complacency, break off strongholds, and it will quench and it will fill the hunger and thirst of the Lord that you've created in us to have towards you and your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said amen and amen. Again, guys, thank you so much again for taking the time out today to be a part of these broadcasts. And we want to give you the opportunity to know more about this ministry. Again, right there on your screen, if you're watching by Facebook or by YouTube, endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. That's going to be our main website. Again, don't forget to subscribe. You can go, if when you go to that main landing page, there's going to be a place you can subscribe. You'll get a one digest every single day in your inbox, and you can do that as well. Also, guys, if you would, please don't forget to download our free app. It's free. It's available on Android. It's available on Apple. You can go to the Apple store. You can go to the Android store. You can download that free app. Get it into your hands right there. You can listen to these podcasts, watch these YouTube videos. You can get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You'll get all that right there in your hands by downloading the free app. Again, it's available on both Android and Apple. So don't forget to do that today. If you've not followed us, you can follow us on all the major networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We're on all of those, but we're also on alternative social media outlets such as Telegram. We're on Gab, and we're also on Parler. When it's working, it's up and then it's down, then it's up and then it's down. But we're on there. We're on all these alternative networks. So go find us. Again, just type in End Time Headlines or our handles at End Time Headline. You can find us. Look, again, I always say look for our official ETH logo. You can find it. Again, if you have not checked out our new Watchman Media Network, you can do that. People have asked us, is this on television? No. Where is it? It's on our website. Go to our main website. If you've got the app, you can find it. Go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You're going to see where it says Watchman Media Network. Click on that, and it's going to take you to a page where you can. There's going to be many voices there. Again, some you will love, some you may not like, but it's going to be a diversity of voices of, I believe, our modern-day watchmen on the wall right now, and it's all free. It's free for you guys to be blessed there. And again, as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry has been a continual source of blessing to you, it has encouraged you, it's equipped you, it's edified you, and you would like to support this ministry, give back to this ministry, help us remain strong. Again, we do what we do because of partners. And again, you know who you are, you guys that are already supporting us and partnering with us. Again, you have a part in doing what we do. You have helped us remain strong. But we want, listen, the Apostle Paul said in the church, in the book of Philip, in the book of Philippians, he spoke to the church of Philippi and he said, no other church has shared the principles of giving and receiving, but you only. And Paul goes in there and he talks about the blessing of giving and receiving. And he talks about, and in that same context, he says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. How does he do that? When you partner with the kingdom of heaven, everything we do is free. So no one can ever accuse this ministry of merchandising the gospel, because we do not do that. These messages are free. Our message on YouTube, podcast, the subscription's free. The Watchman Media Network is free. The app is free. There is no charge whatsoever. So you may be watching this to say, well, brother, I have no money to give. I cannot support the ministry. Then you know what? There's no condemnation. You're still going to be blessed. We still love you, and we still want your prayers and your support. But if you are blessed, and you're well, and God is taking care of you, and he's blessed you through this ministry, and you're blessed financially, and you're able to partner with this, that's all we ask you to do, is just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. That's all we're asking. And you can do that many different ways. You can go to the app and give right there on the bottom just by clicking on donate and give electronically. You can go to the website and click on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Go to the main website. You're going to see places you can give there. Or you can give by check or money order. That's the what we call the old school method. And you can do that by making your check or money order out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And always, guys, we so much appreciate your prayers, your support, and your partnership of this ministry. Again, I cannot stress how much we appreciate your all those things, your support, your partnership, all of them. because we literally could not do what we're doing if it were not for our partner. So that's all. And again, I just from the bottom of my heart and everybody with this ministry, we appreciate your gracious giving and support and partnership to this ministry. So again, we love you guys. We're going to sign out for today. We'll be back on here. We're going to take off tomorrow, which is Thursday. Lord willing, we will be back on here Friday, and we're going to do a prayer segment. We're going to do a live prayer segment in which we're going to pray over not just Facebook, but on YouTube as well. We're going to pray for your needs. We're going to pray for a breakthrough. We're going to pray for the whole nine yards. We have, I believe it's 5 points of prayer, and we're going to pray over these things, and we want you to be involved corporately, and we're going to pray over these things. So look for that on Friday, Lord willing. Sometimes unforeseen circumstances show up like last week, but as far as I know, I don't see anything unless, you know, something that's unforeseen happens. We're going to go ahead and plan on doing that this Friday. So look forward to that. Be looking for that, and we'll see you then. So God bless, guys. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.